At a million other choices, we discuss some dark and troubling topics. If dark and troubling is not your thing, mine might not be the right podcast for you. If you like your dark topics discussed without pesky ads and are looking for some additional content from me, you can sign up for the exclusive feed. The link should be in the show notes, and if not, you can find me on redcircle.com. I research each case myself, and I do my best to use a wide variety of sources, preferably directly from court documents when they're available, to ensure that the information is as accurate as possible. But I cannot verify the truth of all reporting that is publicly available. So this episode has been produced for information and entertainment purposes only and should be taken as such. And with all my legal and publicity stuff out of the way, let's listen to what words I will inadvertently mispronounce today. I am your host, Kim, and this is A Million Other Choices. The case that I'm bringing you today is one that I had to ask myself, why do I do this to myself? I mean, I know why I do it to you, because my pain shall be your pain, but this one just really makes me just shudder to think about it. This is the murder of Timothy Ferguson. So I have to balance today between narration and a few clips for you. I think it's really hard to tell this story without hearing at times from the people within the story, but not for the usual reason that I feel it's best that you hear from people closest to it, but for a different reason that I'm going to get to soon enough. So clips are from actually a variety of sources, including court TV and investigation files. And some of my background information came from Bradley Massman at Michigan Live and 13 on Your Side that actually pulled some court documents on some of the background information, which is always super helpful in uncovering the full and true story here. Timothy Ferguson was born in North Carolina in 2006 to his mom Shanda and dad Eric, along with his older siblings Nolan, Paul, and Millie. Now, Tim was a little bit different from his siblings very early on. He was diagnosed with autism, but he was high functioning. He smiled a lot. He was very affectionate to the family dog, but he would get like hyper focused on like Legos, which he could build these masterpieces with. And he also liked to take things apart and then put them back together to kind of see how they worked. The taking them apart part was easy, but he didn't always manage to get them back together. Now, Eric and Shanda had married in the early 2000s in North Carolina. I believe Shanda, though, was originally from Haleyville, Alabama. They had four kids together in fairly quick succession. In 2007, the family transferred for Eric's job to Oklahoma, and they attended church there every Sunday. Eric and Shanda separated in 2009. So Timothy would have been about three. Nolan, the oldest, would have been about nine. And then Paul and Millie, somewhere in the middle of those ages. And in 2012, Shanda got remarried to Adam Vander Ark and then moved to Michigan. And she gave birth to another son, Gabriel, with her new husband in 2014. And the four Ferguson kids remained with Eric, who remarried as well, to a woman named Patricia in 2012. Then when I believe Paul had turned about 18, he made the decision to move to Michigan to be with his mom. And then in May of 2021, so about a year later, as Timothy was just finishing up his first year of high school, so he would have been about 14, Eric called Shanda and asked if Timothy could come and live with her and Adam and Paul, who was already living there at the time with his mom. Now, according to Patricia, who's the stepmom, she had asked if Eric could try to be home a little bit more because it was on her that she was having issues with the three kids together because Timothy, because of his struggles, was a little bit hard to handle, needed more focused attention than she could give him. So that is how Timothy came to be living in Michigan with his mom, Shanda, his big brother, Paul, and then for a time, Adam as well. And then the youngest child that Shanda had with Adam, Gabriel. After her divorce, Shanda had gone back to school. She was getting her bachelor's degree in science in 2016 from Liberty University and then started working as a paralegal before going on to law school at Western Michigan University. She was kind of attending law school there, but she was working as a teacher's assistant and part-time research assistant. She also managed to find time to be the executive articles editor for the WMU Cooley Law Review and the interim president of Phi Delta Phi. So the gal was really going places. She was also pretty much at the top of her law classes, so she was a smart cookie, as they say. Only, well, you'll see. And a few months after Timothy arrived in Michigan, they returned as a family back to Oklahoma for this family wedding. Timothy appeared to be thriving with his mom and his big brother Paul's care and had bonded as well with Adam. He had adjusted to being a big brother to his seven-year-old half-brother. But I believe it was in January of 2022, Adam suffered a stroke. And although he was alive, he was making a recovery. His recovery was quite slow and it left him unable to navigate stairs. So he had to go and live with his parents for a time while he managed to recover enough to move back in with Shanda and the kids. Now, from what I understand, though, at this point in time, Adam's no longer alive. But Paul was 20 at this point, and so he was able to help out with his two younger brothers. And it turned out, like so everyone kind of thought, at the time, just as well, because only a few months after Timothy had arrived in Michigan, his dad, Eric, and stepmom, Patricia, had split up. So they thought it was a good thing that he had managed to come out to Michigan to be with Shanda. So with his stepdad suffering this life-altering illness, his dad, who's only recently been separated from his wife and now going through a second divorce, he's living with his mom that he hasn't seen a lot of over the last 9 years. Timothy's starting to go through some stuff. And when Timothy went through emotional things, he would go on hunger strikes. And so on the morning of July 6th, 2022, Shanda called 911 to the house because Timothy was suddenly not breathing. Now, I'm not going to play all of this for you, just in the interest of time, but you're going to get the gist of what's going on here. And sorry, there is some background noise. It's not the best to hear. It's not super clear, but it is a really important clip here. Now, if you want to watch or listen to the whole thing, it is on Investigation Files on YouTube.
Yeah, he moved up here with us last May because his dad couldn't handle him. And he's been great. I mean,
last May, like as in May of last year or this year?
Yeah, May of last year.
Okay.
May of last year.
And he goes to school and everything he was?
I've been homeschooling him online because it's high functioning. He's just done better at it. I can show you his grade report online. I've got all the online.
Okay. Is he doing okay?
Yeah, he was failing math, which is not unusual, but he was passing everything else.
What's his date of birth?
8/6/2006. I tried to check in the last few days, and he just wouldn't let me anywhere near him. He didn't want a kiss, a hug, nothing.
Probably didn't want you to give him a hug, because then you could tell that he was...
I would have known. I told him he was stumbling a little bit last night. But he's not the most coordinated kid in the world. And he said it was okay. And then he ate.
So what was the last time he ate, you think?
Last night. No. Gabriel, keep him up there. He ate toast.
There's two. There's a 7-year-old and a 20-year-old.
The 7-year-old was asleep. I guess he's not now. Oh, my God. I just made him eat. I feel like such a failure. You see, there's food in the house. Oh my God.
Where does he sleep at? Right there in that room.
That loft bed.
Okay. So notice there's another loft bed in another room.
Yeah, that's my 7-year-old. But he's been sleeping with me since the youngest is my husband's and mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been sleeping with me since his daddy had a stroke.
Okay.
Because he's scared. And I offered to let Timothy move in there because, but he wanted to stay in his bed. Oh my God. No. Oh, I should have made a pee. I should have done something. Can they really hide that from you like that?
They can hide a lot of things from
you. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
What's your date of birth, ma'am?
3/13/79.
What's your phone number?
I'm sorry. Here you go.
Okay. You can call, make some calls if you want again.
I'll try again in a minute. I'm sorry. I don't know what
to do. Nothing I can say can help you through this, you know. The best thing is to do is just bring your loved ones in and just...
His baby brother doesn't know what's going on, and I'm going to have to tell him eventually, but I don't want to yet. Oh, my gosh.
Well, we have to investigate every death, so I can't let anybody go in the basement for now.
Okay.
A medical examiner's going to be coming here in a little bit.
I'm sorry, it's a little cluttered down there, but...
You're fine.
I'm sure y'all see a lot worse.
Okay. You're probably going to get asked the same questions multiple times, so I'm sorry for that.
It's fine. I just, like I said, I feel like I just missed something.
So if you want to...
How did he hide that from me? How did he do that? I work in White Cloud.
Mm-hmm. So well, that's a... That's a long way.
I'm law clerk to the circuit court judge up there. I love my job, but yeah. Oh my god. Oh my god. How did this happen?
Pardon?
Where does he sleep?
Down there, right there in that room.
So that's the bed?
Yeah.
You see the pillow and the blanket and stuff?
He sleeps on the top bunk?
Yeah, it's a loft. There's no bottom bunk.
Okay.
There's stuff underneath it.
Oh, it's like a desk on the underneath?
Yeah, the desk got broken, but there's boxes underneath it.
So you heard him fall.
Yeah.
That woke you up?
Yeah.
And you went down there and he was...
And I helped him up. I asked him if he wanted something to eat, because the first time I noticed anything on even his face was last night. And he said, no, I'm not hungry. I said, did you hit your head? And then I checked his head to make sure he didn't have anything. I noticed he has some scratches on his face. I'm like, are you okay? No, I'm fine. And then I watched him get back up on his bed. And then I went back upstairs. And then I woke up and I wanted to check on him this morning when I was getting ready for work. So I went down there and I said something. I didn't notice he didn't wake up, and I shook him and didn't respond.
Was he on the bed when you came down there?
Yes.
And then you pulled him down and started CPR?
Yes.
Okay.
I called 911. I was, my 20-year-old was getting up because I was going to drop him off at work early because his e-bike has a flat tire. Oh my gosh. I should have noticed this. I should have seen this. Oh my gosh.
We have people coming to talk to you called Victim Services.
Please.
They'll help you through the grieving process because.
Please, he's really good at hiding stuff. That's part of the reason his dad couldn't handle him is because he kept lying about stuff.
How old is he?
15. He'll be 16 in August.
Okay.
But his dad texted me last May and said, I can't handle him anymore. I have to send him to live with you. And I'm like, yeah, sure, absolutely.
Why was that? What did he do that?
He was lying to him. He was destroying things.
Is he hard to deal with?
I don't think so, but I'm stricter than his dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that, I mean, he's the lying's been a problem. But nothing major.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
No. He's
all teenagers.
He's tripped down the stairs a couple of times, like just half the flight. And then later he came back to me, admitted he did it intentionally. But I've asked him, I'm like, you're trying to hurt yourself? He's like, no, I just wanted to see what would happen. That's the way he wants to see what would happen if he does stuff. And, oh my gosh.
And I guess he's prescribed ADHD medicine, but he's not taking it.
Yeah, because he wasn't able to sleep with it. And he was doing really well. And he asked me if he could not take it. And I said, okay. And it was killing his appetite. That doesn't help. He quit taking it about the time of the first hunger strike because when he finally started eating and he was.
But he did eat last night, you said?
Yes. He had some toast with butter on it, is what he had. That's all he wanted to eat. He said his stomach was a little upset and he didn't want to eat anything else. Oh my gosh. I'm gonna go check on the other kids.
Yeah, you can do that for sure.
I know my 20-year-old's got my 7-year-old, but still.
Nope, that's...
Hey. Paul. You okay up here? I'm sorry, Splutter Joe. I'm really sorry. Oh my god. I knew I should have made him eat, but he just... Did you notice it was covering up with free clothing?
You didn't notice, never mind. Mm-hmm. I love him here, but...
You never noticed it.
Do you have a picture of him like before he started losing weight?
Yeah. Let's see if I can find it.
You doing all right? Yeah, it's almost like you're in a daze. Like you don't know what's real and what's not. Hey, have you been talking to him at all recently?
I talked to him yesterday morning to get him up.
That was right basically when we started.
Okay, so how long ago was
that? Did you know that he was in this hunger strike?
Did I tell you or not? I don't know if I did or not.
I don't think you did.
Because he's skin and bone.
I know, and I just... How did he...
He's really...
Well, he doesn't communicate with him hardly at all. Like, they say hi, and they don't... Yeah, he's...
Are you guys full brothers or half brothers?
They're full. The only half is the one that's in there.
Okay.
We are full.
Yeah.
Might as well get your name while I'm here. You're probably going to be asked this 1,000 times, but what's your first name, son?
Paul. B-A-U-L.
What's your middle name?
Byron. B-Y-R-O-N.
And last name?
Ferguson. F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N.
Nobody's answering the phone here.
What's your date of birth?
04 or 10th of April 2002.
You have your own phone number?
I recently got a new phone, so I have to look at my new number.
Hold on, I'll find it for you.
And when was the last time you talked to Tim?
Yesterday morning when I was getting him up.
No, yesterday afternoon before you left for work. Before I picked you up and took you to work because your e-bike tire hot. You talked to him then.
I got off of work at 1 all right. this morning.
Has he talked to you recently about his problems at all or what he's dealing with?
No, he never said any of his words to me.
He didn't really talk at all. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have normal conversations?
I think the last time we did was before all of this happened. After that,
they literally, because he works a lot and they
And sometimes brothers will tell each other what they're not willing to tell their parents.
Why he went on hunger strike? I mean, I'm assuming it's
he didn't even know anything about it, he said so.
So, you know that whole little history lesson about the Ferguson Vander Ark family that I just kind of told you about before all this? Well, ignore all that, because it's all BS. It's likely not a huge spoiler alert to you that Shanda, right there in that clip, was lying her stupid little butt off about pretty much everything. And it turns out she is one of the biggest pieces of gorilla feces that you'll ever encounter. And let me tell you something about kids and food. If your kid stops eating, you notice very fast. And she just sounds completely ridiculous. Like, she's a terrible liar and all her oh my god and hyperventilating is just stupid. And you could probably tell that the cops saw right through it from minute one. Now, if you didn't catch it all there, she's telling them that he had gone on this hunger strike and that she didn't notice that he was skinny. And not just skinny, but skinny enough to die skinny. And that he had been hiding it from her. Like, she's just how fake and stupid she is. Like she really thought that story was going to fly. So now let me tell you the real story on this family. besides Timothy, because he was a sweet little peanut who loved Lego and was just being himself, and that much was all true. It's the grown-ups that are all liars. Well, maybe not Patricia and Adam, but Chandra for sure, and Paul, probably Eric, but let's just see here. So we go back to 2008 when the family of Shanda and Eric and the four kids was all intact and they're living in Oklahoma. So little Timothy was a baby. Back then, things were pretty normal, except for the fact that a couple of people at their church that the family went to noticed that the kids' clothes were kind of dirty and that Timothy often showed up for Sunday school, or I guess it was like nursery school, in already soiled diapers. And they just kind of had a feeling that things were not all that coolio at home like they should be. On February 1st, 2008, Oklahoma DHS opened an investigation into the family, alleging that Timothy, who was a year and a half old by this time, was underweight and suffering from medical neglect. Well, both Eric and Shanda denied this, said he was just a fussy eater and that he was skinny. But they recommended that the family do some early intervention stuff, like probably take the kid to a doctor and do what the doctor tells them to do. And I guess they did that because the file was then closed. But allegations kept coming in, like another six of them to be exact, including the parents' failure to cooperate by letting social workers into the home to even check on the kids. Well, finally, on October 25th, 2009, social workers did get in the house and found it disgusting, with animal and human feces coating the carpets. It was just a hellish bout of filth. But without a court order, the social worker couldn't remove the kids, so they had to just leave. Probably gagging and holding their noses all the way back to their cars and to the office, where they promptly applied for that court order. And when they came back the next day with their signed little order in hand, well, somehow they had managed to clean up the place in the past 12 hours. I mean, it still stunk, but there wasn't any poop laying around anymore. But the social workers still had their signed orders in their hands, so they were able to take the kids out of the house and put them into temporary custody with a foster family. So DHS said, if you take some parenting classes and if you do everything that you're asked to, you'll get your kids back. Well, during that time, the couple separated. So Eric completed his classes, did all the things that the court had asked him to do. Now, Chandra did not. She had stopped going to the classes. She told a social worker, yeah, I've worked through all that I think that I need to. So they were impressed enough, at least with the progress that Eric had made. So the kids were given back to him and he was granted full custody on January 19th, 2012, but it was recommended that Shanda's rights be terminated. But because she basically said, screw it, he can have them, they just kind of left it like that. So with Eric had full custody and Shanda, she had 3 hours of supervised visitation a month, which she rarely attended, of course. And instead, she chose to move around a lot, like to 18 different addresses until she got remarried and then settled into the split-level house that she was living in on Norton Shores in Marshall Road in Michigan. So when Eric called her and said that you have to take this kid off my hands, the kid being Timothy, she should have said, yeah, I don't have full custody. I probably won't get it because of my past. And I've had another kid since then that I don't want CPS sniffing around about. So maybe you need to consider a different option. But instead, she said, sure thing, bucko. Now, by this point, Paul had turned 18. Now, he had gone off to see if all of the terrible things that Eric had told him about his mom over the years was in fact true. Now, he didn't think so. He didn't talk particularly very nicely about his dad, but he sure was defensive of his mom. And after Adam had his stroke, the family became reclusive. Now, why would that be? Well, it seems that Shanda and Paul had some things that they weren't exactly wanting the neighborhood to find out about. So when the police had arrived on that day to take in the scene and see what was happening with Timothy, who indeed was not breathing, in fact, rigor mortis had started to settle in, a quick look around the place told them that a hunger strike didn't seem particularly likely. Now, right away, they're like, why is there locks on the fridge? And why is there hot sauce in the bathroom? And as Police Lieutenant Joel Hoxima told 13 on Your Side, some people live clean, some people live dirty. This was just gross, end quote. There were soiled diapers everywhere, despite the fact that everyone in the house was over the age of 7. Food wrappers, feces on the door handles. Now, Timothy was found in the basement wearing clothes that were way too big for him. His thin and, it wasn't thin, emaciated 69-pound body, which remember, he's 15 years old, was found in the basement. Now, oddly, there were these cameras and motion detectors like just about in every single room. So something was really, really off here. And there's no way that Timothy went on this hunger strike and nobody noticed until it was too late. Like, there's just no way. So Paul was initially questioned without his mom this time. Now, I'm not sure if you noticed in that first clip, but she sure liked to do a lot of the talking for him. So let's hear a little bit of what he has to say without his mom hovering over him. Now, I think this one is also from Investigation Files as well, maybe Rottweiler. Regardless, they both have it if you want to watch or listen to the full interview. This is just a portion of it.
How did we get to the point where we were at? Because, you know, clearly where you guys got to, when you say you was in the bath, that wasn't a nice, enjoyable bath, though, right? That was a punishment bath, right? That's a cold, ice-cold bath. And that doesn't, that's hard to understand.
I did wash, I did tell him that if he wanted to wash up, and he did, but then in the middle of it, I think the whole laying there in a daze happened.
When he's getting these ice baths, I know there's numerous of them, right? I mean, because I've read through the messages.
Yes.
How are you getting the ice? Like, where's it coming from?
Well, we have an ice machine upstairs. It's not a lot. It can barely create any. That's enough to make it a full-on.
But it's a cold bath.
Yeah.
And you're putting ice in there? Like, one dump of ice, 2 dumps?
One dump. Yeah, it's maybe that much.
And then you're just running cold water, or what type of water?
The water doesn't exactly go cold.
Okay.
It says there's a cold button, but right. It's basically sort of lukewarm-ish.
How many times would you estimate that you guys gave cold baths as a punishment for not behaving or whatever, for whatever reason?
I think for punishments, it was... I don't exactly know the number, but it wasn't a lot.
Are we talking like 5, 10, 20, every day, every other day? Like, any idea?
Of 5.
Yeah. But whose idea was it to give him a cold bath as a punishment?
It was my mother's.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it would be a punishment effective or not. I don't.
Do you remember the first time you guys did it? Like, why? Like, what
no,
did you do?
Not exactly.
What did you do on that day that you sent the photo that made you have to give him a cold bath?
I think it was that he not only peed, but also pooped in bed, and my mother wasn't too happy because it absolutely reeked.
Yeah. And when we talk about bed, I understand we've been to the house and we've been through all the messages.
Yeah.
Where did you sleep most of the nights? In that closet?
Yes.
When did that kind of start happening?
Or
had he always been staying there?
No, he hadn't always.
Okay.
But the thing was, the loft bed, if you've noticed, just screws and stuff, that was his doing.
Okay.
And we couldn't get it safely back.
Yeah. So, he's been sleeping in the closet?
Yes. We made sure that it was cleaned. He had a mattress in there, but then he decided to rip off the cover, like a sort of plastic cover we put on there to keep it from getting smelly and disgusting. We always wanted what's best for him. I don't know.
Now, I just want to be clear here. Paul is 20 years old. If he didn't agree with what was going on in that house, he could have hightailed it out of there with his little brother, his biological brother, but he didn't do that. Instead, he stayed and he did what his mother asked him to do whenever it came to Timothy.
So if he moves into there, there's a tarp in there, is that just to prevent? What is that for?
That was after we'd gone to like 3 plastic covers that he had shredded before we decided to put down the tarp. And honestly, I had expected him to complain, but he didn't, and I don't know.
Like, he's making it seem like his mom is 100% the dictator here. But he keeps talking about we. Like, we were going through these sheets or whatever. We're trying to do this or that. So he makes himself actually complicit in all of this.
So there's restriction on food. He talked about bread. For how long was he eating just bread?
A week or two?
What was he kind of eating before that?
We do ramen sandwiches, and I think at some points we actually give him like a meal.
Why was it that he couldn't have meals?
The whole sneaking.
So you're putting, what dictates whether or not there's hot sauce on the bread that he's eating? What decides that?
I don't know. I just, whenever my mother told me to put hot sauce on it, I did. Okay. It was normally a thin layer to make sure that it wouldn't be too much. Because from what I know, the California Reaper is... what, 2,000 Scoville? Or 2 million Scoville?
What does that mean?
It's the hot sauce, or the heat index, basically.
Oh, okay. And that's pretty high?
Very.
So, how long have you guys been using the hot sauce for?
Almost a month, maybe.
Okay. The hot sauce. Whose idea was it to get hot sauce as punishment? Is that your idea?
I honestly don't remember that part. Okay. I don't remember whose it was. I know that before we were using the California, we were using ghost pepper sauce.
Where did these sauces come from?
I think it was either Amazon or Walmart apps.
Right. So, I know that when we talked yesterday in front of your mom, you know, she was lying about some stuff, right? I know that she's a good person. I'm not doubting that at all.
Yeah, we never wanted any of this.
But you also know this, like I know, that some of the things that she was talking to us about weren't the truth, right? About, she said she didn't know there was a camera in the bathroom. But the fact of the matter, she asked you to put the camera in the bathroom, right? Didn't she send you a text message that says, make sure that the camera's in there and take the shower curtain down so I can see him? Didn't she ask you that the day before he passed away?
Yeah.
So we talked about some of that stuff. Remember how during the conversation I said, I know what this pepper's for, it's for punishment. And what did she say? She said, oh, I didn't know anything about that. Right? Why do you think she's saying those things?
She doesn't want to appear like a bad person. She doesn't want to be the bad guy in this. We never wanted any of this.
Like, see, she didn't want to be the bad guy. We never wanted any of this. It's stupid. Okay, so then they took a few cell phone messages between Paul and Shander over the last few months, and I'm just going to read you just one little tiny snippet of them here. Shander: first, rude, and second, why are his hands free? And what did he get into that he needed to brush his teeth to hide it? Paul: sorry, I didn't know he was up. Shanda: what do you mean you didn't know he was up? Has he not been upstairs against the wall? Paul: no. Shanda: what? Why the heck not? Paul: I just didn't. Shanda: what the heck has he been doing? Paul: according to him, he's just been sitting. I don't know, though. I didn't know he was awake. Shanda: find out what he has snuck right the heck now, since I know he has snuck stuff since you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. What do you mean you didn't know he was awake? You both should have been awake at 10:30. I'm not happy. You know he wasn't just sitting there. Check the brownies in the kitchen. Check everything not locked away. Checked where the flipping keys have been. And Paul says, I've already checked everything. Shanda: and check his breath. I can almost guarantee he's eaten something. He was chewing on something when he walked downstairs. You and I will be talking about this on a later date when we are both home. And Paul says, yep, He grabbed chips. I know. Oh, trust me. That is just a wee little sample of the text messages that they uncovered, and we'll get to a few of the others. But I think that gives you a taste of exactly what we're dealing with here. So that Shanda, for whatever strange reason, is determined that Timothy is not going to eat anything without her say-so. Like, nothing at all. So, needless to say, Shanda was charged with open murder and first-degree child abuse. Now, Paul was also arrested for first-degree child abuse, and Paul and Shanda completely threw each other under the bus as being the ones that had come up with all of this diabolical and despicable crap that they did to this poor innocent child.
At some point in time in February, there's a discussion fairly early in those text messages about blocking Timothy's access to food. Can you describe what was happening at that time and how he was restricted from getting access to food?
He was sneaking food that was not necessary at that time, and it was solved by placing locks on the fridge, freezer, and pantry.
When you say he was sneaking food that wasn't necessary, who would make that determination that it wasn't necessary?
Shanda. You're right.
Yeah, who? I guess the better way of saying it is, who made the decision for him to stop taking his medication?
Shanda.
Basically, from January, from the time of the stroke moving forward, was Timothy allowed to even leave the house?
No.
When, if ever, was he ever allowed to go outside?
To walk the dogs sometimes.
And when he would walk the dogs, where was it that he would walk the dogs?
In the backyard, out of sight.
Was there ever some physical discipline that was involved with him being outside as well?
Yes.
What was that discipline?
He was made to run up and down the patio stairs.
And those are stairs in the back of your house?
Yes, sir.
Are those visible at all from the front of the house?
No, sir.
Visible to anyone walking by on the street or driving by, anything of that nature?
No, sir.
There's been some testimony already about Timothy going on a hunger strike around the time of Adam's stroke. To your knowledge, did Timothy ever go on a hunger strike when Adam had his stroke?
No, sir.
There's also a reference to him going on another hunger strike about 2 weeks before he passed away. Did that happen?
No, sir.
What was the purpose of the cameras being inside the residence?
To watch Timothy.
And who would be watching Timothy on those cameras?
My mother, or when she couldn't, she had me do so.
And how is it that you would, kind of explain for the jury if you can, how is it that you watched the cameras so you could watch what Timothy was doing?
I would log into the app on my phone, and it would alert me if there was a motion movement.
And what was the restriction on Timothy's movement that would cause those cameras to go off? Where was he limited to?
Could you please reiterate?
Yeah. Where could Timothy go, basically?
Mainly, he was restricted to the downstairs area, to a closet downstairs.
Was there a name you used to refer to the closet?
The small room.
And what was in the small room if Timothy was in the small room?
There was a camera monitoring him, even when he slept.
Was there an alarm on the door as well?
Yes, sir.
Some type of motion sensor or alarm?
Motion, vibration, yes.
So we had that on the door and then a camera actually inside the room as well, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And were there times where you were required to watch that camera?
Yes, sir.
And to your knowledge, were there times when your mother was watching that camera as well?
Yes, sir.
Was there a restriction on how much Timothy could move while he was inside that closet?
Could you please reiterate, sir?
Were there any restrictions on his movement inside the closet, or was it he could move around however he wanted inside the closet?
There were restrictions.
What were the restrictions on his movement?
Hands on his head, normally.
Hands on his head, is that what you indicated?
Yes.
Was that some form of discipline for him?
Yes, on his knees and against a corner or wall of the room.
And when you say hands on head, I'm going to demonstrate just putting my hands just over my head like this. Is that what he was required to do?
Yes.
He was required to be on his knees as well? Say yes?
Yes, sir.
You have to say yes or no because this is
I apologize.
Important. You're fine. No, that's fine. Everybody makes that mistake. It's not a problem. And was he monitored to make sure that he was doing those things?
Yes, sir.
And for how long would he have to do these things?
Several hours.
At some point in time, did you have? Were you asked to start feeding him bread with hot sauce on it?
Yes.
And who asked you to do that?
Shonda.
Why were you giving him bread with hot sauce on it?
Because he was supposedly misbehaving.
Look at a text message that you sent to your mother. It's got a photo that you took of your brother. You remember sending that text message?
Yes, sir.
For the record, this is People's 36A. This has been previously shown to the jury. Who took that photo of your brother?
Me.
And you sent it to your mother?
Yes, sir.
Why did you send it to your mother?
Because I was concerned with how thin he was.
And that photo was taken on... do you remember what the date was?
Not the exact, no.
If your phone indicated it was June 13th, you'd have no reason to dispute that.
No, sir.
And you just became... Again, the reason you sent it to your mother was why?
Because I was concerned about how thin he was.
Do you remember what your mother told you to give him after you sent her that photograph?
Bread.
And then is there a reference to bread and some peanut butter?
Yes.
So at that point, your brother's very skinny, right? Was he eating regular meals at that point?
No.
Were you still administering the hot sauce on the bread as a form of punishment for him during that time period?
Yes.
And did that continue all the way up until the time of his death?
Yes.
Did he ever eat any normal type of meal leading up to his death after you took that photo and sent it to your mother?
That day I made him an actual real meal, an actual peanut butter and jelly sandwich, as well as scrambled some eggs and put cheese in them.
Did you tell your mother you'd made that meal for him?
No, sir.
Why not?
Because I didn't want her to be upset with me.
Do you remember about what time it was that you put him in the ice bath?
Not exactly, no.
If the text message indicated it was around 2 o'clock, does that sound about right?
Yes.
What time did you have to leave for work that particular day?
I was supposed to be at work at 4, but unfortunately, due to a flat tire on my e-bike, I had to wait till 6 for my mother to get home and drive me to work.
So from 2 to 6 until your mother got home, you were home with Timothy, is that right?
Yes.
And where was Timothy that entire time that you were home with him?
In the bath.
In the ice bath? Was your mother giving you instructions on what to do with him while he was in that tub then, at that point in time?
Yes, sir.
What was she telling you to do?
Make him uncomfortable, and at one point she had me heat up a pizza roll to see if he would be responsive to enticement.
Did you actually do that?
Yes.
And what did you, so describe for the jury exactly what you did with that pizza roll with Timothy in the tub.
I held it close, and when he responded, as per instruction, I was to pull it away from him.
Did you actually do this?
Yes.
So you actually held a pizza roll in front of him to see if he would respond? Is that yes?
Yes, sir.
I know it's difficult. Did he respond?
Yes, sir.
And what did you do when he tried to respond?
I had to, or as I was told, I pulled it away.
So he didn't get to eat the pizza roll?
No.
Before 911 is called, was there some discussion about a hunger strike?
Yes.
What was the discussion about the hunger strike at that point?
Shonda said to say that he'd gone on a hunger strike.
Was
and that
he,
we
who
found
she,
him on the bed.
Seems dead. Obvious, but who was she referring to?
Timothy.
And said that he was found on the bed?
Yes, the bed.
Now, remember when I said that you couldn't really tell this story without hearing from some of the players themselves? And usually, for me, that's because I want you to hear accurate information from close to the source. But in this case, I need you to hear Shonda, because she is the biggest piece of garbage that ever lived. And, well, you just have to listen to her. This is her testifying on her own behalf.
When did Timothy come to your care?
May of 2021.
Prior to that, who had physical and legal custody of Timothy?
My ex-husband.
Okay. And when he sent, and how did it happen that you ended up with custody then?
My ex reached out to me stating that Timothy was, he could no longer handle him, that he was pushing his buttons, and that he needed to send him to live with me.
Did your ex-husband ever make any effort to transfer legal custody to you?
We discussed it, but he never did actually sign anything, no sir.
Okay. And without legal custody, how do you get Timothy into school?
You can't.
And without legal custody, how do you get medical treatment for Timothy?
You can't.
Did your husband at least send his, I assume he had medical insurance for Timothy. Did he send that?
He did not send me. I requested his medical card, his insurance card, and he never sent it to me.
What was your financial situation once Timothy arrived and your husband had a stroke?
After the stroke, we lost my husband's income, and it was paycheck to paycheck, not even paycheck to paycheck. Almost everything was paid late. I was struggling. I asked Paul for help with groceries sometimes because we were struggling.
Okay. You had monitors and cameras in your home, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And the impression from the testimony I heard is that it was for the sole purpose of ensuring that Timothy could not get the food. Is that accurate?
No.
Why did you have all those monitors and cameras in your home?
When Timothy came to live with us, his stepmother informed me that they had motion sensors. They weren't as tech savvy as I was. I worked in tech before law school. I worked in tech support for several years. But they had motion sensors because she told me that she didn't sleep at night. She only slept when he was at school because he was into everything.
Was food the only reason why you felt you had to monitor Timothy, or were there other issues?
There were plenty of issues, sir.
So, well, first of all, what we've heard some testimony as to Timothy's special needs. What were his special needs?
He was on the autism spectrum, but he was completely verbal, and he was grade level in school. He was not behind in school at all. He was diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He was diagnosed as bipolar and sensory processing disorder. I heard Paul mention physical disability. He didn't have any. Now, Timothy, when he first got there, said he had a physical disability, and I asked his stepmom about it to make sure, and she said no, he was not coordinated at all. The first summer that he lived with us, my youngest was playing baseball, and Timothy actually mentioned, because we had planned to put him in public high school, I'm going to try out for the baseball team. And I didn't say anything to him, but I remember thinking, sorry, sweetie, there's no way. You don't have the coordination for that.
Can you tell me, did he like to take things apart?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Can you give some examples?
He took batteries apart. He took toys apart, my youngest son's toys. If he could get a hold of anything from Paul's room, he would take, like, mostly it was Legos. Paul still had Legos. He, at one point, messed with our water heater.
What do you mean?
He actually turned the gas off to the water heater. He knocked out the pilot light and then turned the gas off as well at different points.
Okay. So you set up these video and audio cameras, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And alarms on the doors?
Those didn't get installed until about 3 weeks before he passed away.
Okay. And motion sensors?
Yes, sir. Okay. He got around the motion sensors multiple times.
You have three children at home?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And my understanding is you faced other challenges personally in terms of your own personal health.
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. For instance, let's run down the list. You had insomnia.
Severe insomnia caused by attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Okay. And you talked about your other personal disorders. Were you seeking medications for those?
I was for I have severe attention deficit hyperactivity disorder combined type. I also have sensory processing disorder and OCD. And then after my husband's stroke, as a result of my husband's stroke, because I viewed him, I wasn't in the room when he had the stroke, but I was there right afterwards. And so I developed post-traumatic stress disorder with disassociation from that. The only medication that I was on was for the ADHD.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the things that have come up in this case. There are leg irons discovered in your home. Were you aware of those?
I was aware that Paul had them. You actually could look on my Amazon. Paul had the option to do payment on the Amazon as well as mine.
Uh-huh.
And Paul had actually ordered those under his account.
Okay. You did not order the leg irons?
I did not, no.
Did you ever use them?
No, sir. No, I never instructed.
Let's be in specific. Did you ever use them with Timothy?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you ever notice any bruising on Timothy's wrists or legs that might be attributable to the use of leg irons?
No, sir. I never saw anything with that.
You heard Paul talk about plastic ties. What was that about?
I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
I don't know why we would order. I mean, I saw the ties. I don't remember ordering them. Okay. I don't know what happened there.
You're going to say I don't remember a lot, aren't you?
Unfortunately, yes, because of the dissociation.
So as you can see, she is full of excuses, but just wait for this last little bit. And I really considered cutting it down because this, I know that this episode's already getting long, but I cannot. This prosecutor, Matt Roberts, is just so brilliant. And she is just so despicable that you have, like, I have to play the whole thing for you because it's horrible, yet it is intriguing. It's like a weird piece of art the way it all goes down, and you just need to listen to it. And I will try really hard not to interrupt that much with my snide little comments, but no promises. Oh, and just before this moment, Matt starts his cross-examination by showing her a picture of Timothy when he died, like from his autopsy photos, and she makes this big show of fake vomiting for the jury, which turns out was not real at all. She was just doing it for show. So this first part of this cross-examination is probably one of my favorite bits.
You may be seated. Mr. Roberts, you can continue.
Thank you. Before we get back to the question I originally asked Ms. Van der Ark, you just obviously had quite a visual reaction there to the jury, a physical reaction in front of the jury looking at those photographs. That's not the first time you've seen these photographs, though, is it? In fact, you sat in this very courtroom not even a week ago on Friday when we had a hearing about those photographs and looked at those photographs, didn't you?
I did not look at them last week, sir.
You didn't look at them last week?
No, sir, I did not.
But you've looked at them before, haven't you?
I think it was at the prelim, and I gagged that day, too. It just wasn't as bad.
Didn't throw up, though?
No, it wasn't as bad.
Well, then I'll return to my original question. Those three photographs depict your son hours after you supposedly put him in a warm bath. Did he look like that when you put him in the warm bath, but for the fact that he was alive?
I did not look at him, sir. He was 15. I tried to give him his privacy. It may sound lame, but I intentionally look away. That's why Paul did most of his baths, is because he's 15 and I didn't think that was appropriate.
As you will see, Shanda, she has a strange idea of what she thinks is appropriate.
Did you get him out of the tub?
I don't remember. I think so later that night. I would assume so.
Later that night? How long was he in the tub?
Well, night to me is any time after work, so.
Okay. How long was he in the tub?
I don't think it was long after I got home, but I don't know.
And again, you didn't tell the police officers this when they talked to you about what had happened the night before, did you?
I don't remember. Apparently I didn't.
Well, so you don't remember what you told the police officers?
I remember part of it, but I mean, if you say I didn't tell them, then I trust your word there.
If you told the police officers that you noticed he was skinny, so you made him some bread and put some butter on it and watched him eat 3/4 of it and then sent him to bed, does that refresh your recollection about what you told the officers?
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't remember saying it, but...
So you don't remember saying those things to the police officer?
No, sir.
And those things clearly didn't happen, did they?
No, sir.
How did he get into his room that night?
I don't remember, sir.
Last page of the text messages. You can go ahead and read that very top text message, please.
Please set your alarm for 6 a.m. I ended up dragging him back to a small room because I wasn't going to risk him having access to the tub or other things overnight. He's still trying to be stupid, but I will tell you more tomorrow while I take you to work, describing how many different ways I proved that he's still faking. He's still doing it, though. It's beyond ridiculous.
I ended up dragging him back to his small room because I wasn't going to risk him having access to the tub or other things overnight. The plan was for him to sleep in the bathroom, wasn't it?
I don't remember, sir. I mean, I know that in the text message, but if that's what the text message says.
Okay.
and you had to drag him back to the small room. Again, the small room being the closet, right?
Yes, sir.
Supposedly that he wanted to sleep in.
Yes, sir.
But you had to drag him there. Why was that? Well,
dragging, I mean, that could be anywhere from grabbing hold of an arm and because someone's not being cooperative. That can be a range of things, sir, so I don't know what I was referring to there.
You've seen the video, haven't you?
No, sir. I haven't seen any videos.
Do you need your memory refreshed about him getting back in the small room that night?
No, sir. I mean, like I said, I don't remember actually doing it.
Did you physically pull him into the room that night?
Yes, sir. I mean...
And did you push him down onto the ground so that he was laying and facing the camera?
If that's what it shows, then yes, sir.
And did you position his face towards the camera?
If that's what it shows, I...
And did you tell him that he owes you the biggest apology on the face of the earth and then maybe he can get out to go to the bathroom?
If that's what it shows, sir, I don't remember.
And did you return a little while later because he had rolled over away from the camera so that you couldn't see him on camera?
If that's what it shows, I don't remember any of this.
And did you tell him you don't need to open your mouth every time you breathe, dummy, and then hold his mouth shut?
I don't know what I said, sir. I mean, I'll take your word for that's what the video
is. Oh, you don't have to take my word for it. Let's play the video for it.
Sir, that's not necessary. That's what you're saying it shows. I believe you. I'm not.
So you're acknowledging that the night before Timothy died, hours before he died, you dragged him looking like that back into his small room, positioned him in front of a camera, told him he owed you an apology, then came back later because he rolled over away from the camera and held his mouth closed and said, see, you don't have to open your mouth when you breathe, dummy? You're acknowledging you did those things?
If that's what the camera shows, yes, sir.
You didn't put him in a warm bath that night, did you?
Yes, sir, I did.
But you had to drag him away from it?
If that's what it says, I don't... I know that he had a hoodie on.
You said the locks on the refrigerator were there because he got into the refrigerator, and if I heard your testimony correctly, he ate a pound of frozen hamburger?
Yes, sir. That was back.
And a bag of chicken nuggets?
A frozen bag of chicken nuggets, yes, sir.
And frozen hamburger?
Yes, sir. The hamburger was not frozen, it was refrigerated.
But frozen chicken nuggets?
Frozen chicken nuggets and raw bacon.
And raw bacon?
Yes, sir.
Frozen raw bacon?
No, it was in the refrigerator.
The frozen stuff was the chicken
nuggets? The chicken nuggets, that was the only frozen, yes, sir.
Did you think he had an affinity for frozen food?
I didn't know. The only thing he ate frozen was the chicken nuggets.
Is that why you sent a text message to Paul while he was in the ice bath at 3:43 that afternoon and said, oh, okay, crazy thought. Tell him if he actually sits up by himself and stays sitting up, he will get some pizza rolls. Don't tell him it's only two, and I'm okay if they are frozen rather than cooked. Why'd you send that text message?
I don't know.
Don't remember that one either?
No, sir.
So you're not worried about him eating frozen pizza rolls if he sits up?
If that's what it says.
You've heard it read several times. Yes, you're not sir. Doubting that's what it says, right?
Yes, sir.
Just another one of those memories that you just gone from your head, right?
Yes, sir.
So when you told Detective Pieske that the reason the locks were on the refrigerator is because he would get into them and he'd leave the doors open, that was a lie, wasn't it?
No, that was also true. He did that as well.
How does putting locks on fix that problem?
He can't get into it then, so it doesn't get left open.
Oh, no, so you admit that he was not allowed access to the refrigerator or the freezer or to the pantry?
As far as the refrigerator or freezer, after we put the locks on.
He couldn't get into them, could he?
No, not after that.
And the pantry had an alarm on it as well, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
Okay. We'll move on. We can circle back to that one. Let's talk about some of the other things that you told Detective Pieske. You told Detective Pieske that long after the stroke happened in January, Timothy went on a hunger strike. That was a lie, wasn't it?
Not long after. And no, that was not a lie. That was the truth.
He went on a hunger strike?
Yes, sir, he did. It wasn't immediately, but it was within a few days.
And a hunger strike is refusing to eat, right?
Yes, sir.
So he's refusing to eat food not long after your husband has his stroke, right?
Yes, sir.
Then you don't need to put locks on the refrigerator or freezer, do you, if he's refusing to eat?
He started eating again.
He started eating again, so then you decided he's been on a hunger strike, he's eating again, so now we better lock up the food.
No, I did the locks to protect him because he could have killed himself eating the chicken nuggets. I didn't put the locks on after he did the hamburger or the bacon, but the chicken nuggets, it was raw chicken.
Chicken nuggets are cooked, aren't they? They're pre-cooked.
Are they? I didn't even think about that.
It's okay if he has a frozen pizza roll or two, if he sits up, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. February 18th, 2022. Find out what he has snuck right the heck now. Because I know he has snuck all stuff since you weren't doing what you were supposed to. What do you mean you didn't know he was awake? You both should have been awake at 10:30. I am not happy. You know he wasn't just sitting there. Check the brownies in the kitchen. Check everything not locked away. Check where the flipping keys have been. So starting February, you had to lock up all the food. Make sure he's not getting into the brownies, right?
All of the food was never locked. We had there's no pictures of it, but one of the lower cupboards had quite a bit of canned food in it. And he actually would get into that and eat stuff out of cans as well. But there was never a lock on that lower cupboard. I don't know if they... I know they took pictures of it because I showed it to them.
So he had access to one cupboard of food?
The pantry wasn't locked the whole time. I know that.
But there were times the pantry was locked or had an alarm on it, wasn't there?
There was no alarm. I never got one for the pantry. I've heard the text messages. I don't remember there being a lock on the pantry, but I've heard...
228, check his breath. I can almost guarantee he's eaten something. He was chewing on something when he walked downstairs. You and I will be talking about this on a later date when we're both home. Paul's response, yes, he grabbed some chips. I know. So he wasn't allowed to eat chips on 228 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Couldn't have some chips, right?
I mean, I don't know what happened in that situation.
Well, you didn't say, make sure he didn't get into the frozen chicken nuggets because it might kill him. You said, find out what he's been into, and Paul says he's been into chips, right?
That's what it says, yes, sir.
So I imagine the next text message then is, oh, great, that's fine, he can have some chips.
Well, no, the point of it was he was sneaking things. He knew better.
Couldn't have chips.
It wasn't that he couldn't have chips, it was that he would sneak things. It was dishonest.
How would he earn getting chips?
He didn't have to earn them. All he had to do was ask. I was trying to teach him not to sneak. He snuck. It wasn't just food. He would sneak in the garage. He would sneak toys. He snuck around and messed with his baby brother's homeschooling materials. I've got like flashcards and stuff for him. He messed with those and got them all out of order.
March 4th is around the time that you acknowledged that he was in zip cuffs. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but I don't think we clarified your final text message where you said, you know what? We will start cutting off the ends once they are tight so he can't do that. Is that one of the can't remember texts too?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. March 19th. Okay, that only makes partial sense. What did he grab? LOL. Paul's response, I don't know, chips or something small he had in his pocket. Okay, tell him he just restarted his not eating again. That was you. March 19th, tell him he's just restarted his not eating again. So he took chips. So the punishment for that is now he's not allowed to eat anything again, right?
I don't remember, sir.
Don't remember that one, okay. Talking about the punishment outside, Paul says, wall sits question mark, and then you say, push him until it looked like he is about to fall over, please. That was for running up and down the stairs, wasn't it, on April 14th?
If that's what it says, yes, sir.
So you wanted Paul to run him up and down the stairs until he was ready to fall over?
That's what the text says.
What crime had he committed to warrant being physically driven until you fall over?
I have no idea, sir.
April 18th. He managed to come upstairs, yank the locks off of both the freezer and the pantry without you noticing, and he stole a bunch of crap that squished and rattled and did all sorts of stuff, and you slept through everything. KK, no devices until tomorrow, at least my lunch other than messaging, until at least my lunch other than messaging me, which would be very little. Remember that?
I don't remember it, no, sir.
So, but if the text message said he yanked the locks off the pantry, then there were locks on the pantry as of April 18th, right?
Apparently.
(clears throat) 4:26, almost freaking caught him again. I want all the food in the fridge, freezer, or pantry, and those locked. So locking up all the food again on April 26th, correct?
Well, the cupboard still was never locked.
And what was in the cupboard?
A bunch of canned stuff. There's a bunch of cans in there.
Bunch of cans in there?
Yeah.
So you're okay with him getting into a bunch of canned stuff?
I mean, he got into it all the time.
So what, do you go to the drawer, get a can opener, open up the can, put it on the stove, warm the stuff up?
No, he didn't. He would eat it straight out of the can.
Well, that is
weird. Huh?
That didn't worry you?
Well, when I discovered it did, but I just never put anything on that cupboard.
So what caused this almost freaking caught him? I want all the food in the fridge and the freezer, the pantry, those locked up, April 28th.
I have no idea, sir. Without having it in there, I don't know what caused it.
It's likely related to the text before that, isn't it?
I don't know.
He keeps pulling his arms down, and that doesn't set off the camera alarm, so please watch him for that. Well, why did he have his arms up?
He was standing against the wall with his arms on his head.
So he'd have to do that for long periods of time, right?
Stand there, but he didn't have to have his arms up the whole time, but I'd set a time limit on how long he had to have his arms up.
And you're either watching or watching an alarm to make sure his arm doesn't go down, right?
From the sound of it.
The response to you about locking, from Paul about locking up the food, it's just he pulled the pantry door lock. What do you mean he just pulled it? Did he take it off? Paul says, yes, that part that attaches to the wall is dangling right now due to sticky locks. Okay, get another one on it right away. Last I saw, they were on the floor in a bag in my room. And you need to make him run up and down the stairs a ton for that, even in the cold and rain. So trying to take some food, not in his cabinet full of canned goods, and pulling the alarm, the pantry lock off, means he doesn't get food, it all gets locked away, and he has to run the stairs, even in the cold and rain, right?
Him being deceitful and sneaky.
He was deceitful and sneaky a lot, wasn't he?
Yes, sir, he was.
Did that occur to you? It's because he was hungry?
He was that way well before there was issues, well before the stroke. I mean, we always had issues with him over that. His stepmom warned me about that.
Well, before the issues, what issues?
Before his first hunger strike, before any of this, he was extremely sneaky.
Did it ever occur to you that this is not the way to deal with a person who's been on a hunger strike? Locking up their food, locking up their access to food, punishing them when they try to take food? Did that ever occur to you with your brilliant legal mind, as it was, that that wasn't a good idea?
I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking.
April 27th, Timothy is no longer allowed anywhere near the fridge, freezer, or pantry, or any other place where food is. So now it sounds like he can't even get into his cabinet full of canned goods, right?
I mean, that's what it said. There was never a lock on that.
But he wasn't allowed near it.
I mean, right? If that's what it says, I don't.
That was April 27th. Just a few days before, somehow he manages to be 104 pounds, which, as we've heard from the testimony this morning, is still a good 30 pounds under average weight, right?
My kids are, most of them are slim. Paul is 6'1 and 130. He doesn't even hit the 134 for a 5'8 person. And I lose weight extremely easily. So at 104, he looked average.
February 14th, I may need some help with it, but I am about to get a lock for the pantry door and a lock for the fridge and both freezers. And then we won't leave any food out of those areas, and he won't have access to unlock those. Okay, Paul's response. Your response, if you disagree, please say so, but he is not going to win this. I may need some help with it, but I'm about to get a... Oh, that's the same thing. So you were bound and determined that he wasn't going to win and get food without asking for permission first, weren't you? Even if that meant locking up all the food.
No, sir, I was bound and determined he would stop being deceitful and sneaky.
He is not going to win this.
Because he was being stubborn. He kept sneaking. He snuck stuff. We found out, actually, it was well before the stroke. Paul discovered it. This was before his first hunger strike. I mean, before anything. Paul went down to the downstairs bathroom one day, and I think it was, I want to say it was at least three cupboards, if not four across, and I guess he'd opened one of the cupboards, and Timothy had snuck a bunch of stuff. I mean, there was wrappers and cans and all sorts of stuff. He did that. I mean, that was, I don't remember if it was before or after my oldest son's wedding, but it was around that time.
And again, your response to all of this, rather than to seek some professional help for him because of these eating issues that he apparently has, is to restrict even further his access to food, right? And then watch his every move on a camera or with a motion sensor or with an alarm, right?
My response was to try to prevent him from being deceitful and sneaky.
April 28th, do you want to have just the one on the pants for tonight? When I leave, you will have to have both of them on so it doesn't get away with anything. So by April 28th, you were putting multiple alarms on his person, weren't you?
If that's what it says, I didn't realize he even owned more than one. I only remember ordering one.
Okay, take off the arm one, but warn him that I will count how many times he moves his arm from the camera picking it up, and he'll be doing stairs for that tomorrow. That's at 11 o'clock in the evening on 428. So you're watching to see how many times he moved his arm when he was in his room?
How many times he dropped his arm? Was he in his room?
I don't know. You tell me. I wasn't there. All I can do is read you the text message. It says, "K, take off the arm one," referencing back to the alarms, "but warn him that I will count how many times he moves his arm from the camera picking it up, and he will be doing stairs for that tomorrow."
That
he's not sneaking around there, is he?
No, he was up against the wall, and he was supposed to have his arms on his head for a certain amount of time.
Okay, so at 11 o'clock at night, he's supposed to be up against the wall, and you want to make sure that he knows you're going to know how many times he moves his arm, and if it's not satisfactory, he gets to do stairs for that the next day.
Yes, sir, apparently.
April 29th. What did he eat? I ate my burger already. Paul's response, he ate the crust. Do you remember what your response was?
I don't remember. I heard it the other day, but I don't remember sending that.
Go try to make him throw up, please. That was your response, wasn't it?
If that's what it says.
Don't remember?
No, sir.
Put that one in the don't remember category?
Like I said, unfortunately, between January and the time he passed away, I don't have a lot of memories in general of Gabriel, of G, of Timothy, of Paul. I know that there's times that I went over to my in-law's house, and I don't remember a lot of that. It's not just this.
So the crime he committed here, just so we're clear, wasn't sneaking frozen chicken nuggets or a bag of chips. It was eating the crust of what sounds to be an already half-eaten burger or an eaten burger. And your response to that is, go make him throw up, please.
If that's what it says. And the crime was, again, it's being sneaky and deceitful. It wasn't about the food. It was because every time we turned around, he was sneaking something. It wasn't just food. He snuck toys. Like I said, he snuck batteries.
May 5th, did Timothy work hard enough to sleep tonight so you and I can both get some sleep? He will still have to work super hard tomorrow to earn the same, but wanted to ask about tonight first. Do you want to explain how that falls in with your statement that the reason he wasn't allowed to sleep was because he would keep you guys awake?
I actually do remember that. Timothy asked if he could trade off not getting to sleep for something else, and I had him doing chores.
There's a lot to unpack in that sentence, so I think I'll just start at the end. So he had to ask for permission to sleep.
No,
right?
This was because he had kept us up. Like I said before, he had kept us up, so he wasn't going to get to sleep. And he asked if he could trade that punishment for another punishment.
How is that not having to ask for permission to go to sleep, Ms. Van der Ark?
It wasn't because it was a punishment. It wasn't anything about, he didn't have to ask to go to sleep.
Yeah, it's. I'll do something else if you let me sleep, right?
It was trading a punishment for a punishment. That's.
May 16th, where is Timothy? Paul's response, sorry, I was getting dressed. Timothy is on a 5-minute bathroom timer. Well, 4 now. And your response, why is he on a 5-minute timer? He doesn't get 5 minutes. He gets 60 seconds unless he needs to poop, then he gets 2 minutes. He only got to go to the bathroom for 1 minute or 2 minutes, depending on what he had to do?
I don't remember ever enforcing that, but obviously I sent it. But
doesn't that strike you as with everything else that happens? It's just cruel and unusual to tell a child, heck, to tell anybody, that you only get a certain amount of time in the bathroom? That doesn't strike you as cruel? May 17th, before I left, when I was having you sign into the camera and turning on the sound for the camera so you would hear the alarm if it went off. And by the way, I told him yesterday that if he did that in the garage again, he would sleep in the garage for a night. So let him know that he would be doing that as soon as the temperatures are safe enough for him to make him do it. So you were going to have him sleep in the garage for a night.
I actually remember that text message, and I was frustrated. I never would have done it, but I was frustrated. I type really fast, and I admit I have a bad habit of saying stuff when I'm upset, and then calming down later and it being totally different. But I do remember that, and it never happened.
It didn't happen? What didn't happen? You didn't make him sleep in the garage?
No.
Oh, yes, thank goodness for that. Same day, 12:53, did he heat the pancake in a cup? Otherwise, it's just powder, and it's not safe to eat without being heated either. When it actually says, did he hear the pancake in the cup? I assume he meant heat the pancake in the cup, right? Do you remember this text exchange?
Vaguely.
And Paul's response, no, he just ate the powder. And your response, that could make him sick, the dummy. Tabasco in his mouth and make him swallow, and lots of it, and do it every 30 minutes until you leave. This was May 17th. Do you remember this exchange?
I don't remember the Tabasco, because I never called it. I said Tabasco.
Tabasco in the mouth and make him swallow, and lots of it, and do it every 30 minutes until you leave.
I don't remember that being a part of it. I remember part of the conversation, but I don't remember that part of it.
Well, Timothy obviously didn't like Tabasco, did he?
We didn't have any Tabasco sauce. That's why it doesn't make any sense. We had hot sauce, but we didn't have Tabasco sauce.
Okay, so the punishment for eating pancake in a cup is Tabasco or some type of hot sauce in the mouth. Is that right?
Sneaking something dangerous? If you're asking what he was punished for, it would be for sneaking.
You were concerned for his well-being?
Yes, sir.
Right. That's why you're having this text exchange, right?
Yes, sir.
You're really concerned for him at that point?
Yes, sir. Those pancakes in a cup had, if I remember correctly, it's been a while, but I think they had eggs in them.
That could make him sick, the dummy. Do you always refer to him as a dummy when you're worried about him?
No, sir. You can look at the text messages. I hardly ever said anything like that.
Hardly ever said anything like that? It's not a good idea to call a child a dummy, is it?
I never would to him. I was frustrated, like I said.
Later on in that same text exchange, Paul says he also crapped himself. And your response is, what? In his pants? Seriously? Paul, I told him to take a 5-minute shower. Make him do the work in the garage with nothing on below the waist. Just make sure the garage door stays closed, and then he can stand down against the wall with nothing on below the waist until you leave. Just please make sure G does not go downstairs at all while he's standing there like that. Break that up again. So make him do the work in the garage with nothing on below the waist. So his punishment for having an accident was that he had to do chores without pants and underwear on, right?
If that's what it says, I don't remember this.
That's pretty humiliating, isn't it?
I mean, he was by himself. It wasn't, I don't remember this at all, sir.
You don't remember that at all?
No, sir.
But you did have the presence of mind at that time that says, just make sure the garage door stays closed because you don't want anyone seeing him doing that, do you?
Well, I didn't want the garage door open ever because we had a lot of stuff out there, so.
And then he can stand against the wall with nothing on below the waist until you leave. So in addition to cleaning the garage, then he has to stand against the wall with no pants and underwear on, correct?
I mean, if that's what it says, I don't remember this.
Please make sure G does not go downstairs at all. Don't remember that either.
No, sir.
Didn't want, but you physically typed these words into your phone and sent them to Paul to make sure that G doesn't see Timothy like that, right?
Yes, sir.
He His clothes need to be washed right away, but he gets to be without anything below the waist for a while today. Did he say why the heck he did that? And Paul's response is, he said he didn't want to disturb anyone. He had to ask for permission to go to the bathroom, didn't he?
No, sir, not usually. If he was on the wall, he did. Because he was supposed to be standing still.
Just the handcuff transactions, we've talked about that. So let's get back to your statement to to Detective Pieske. You didn't tell the detective about the warm bath, but you told him that you realized how skinny he was the night before and threatened to take him to the ER if he didn't eat. That's not true, is it?
No, sir.
And you didn't make him a piece of toast and give it to him and make him eat it, did you?
No, sir. I have no idea why I said that. I was traumatized. I actually didn't come out of the first month I was in jail. I wish the Lydia that used to work for the public defender's office visited me, and she said it was pretty obvious that I was under severe trauma. Mm-hmm. I didn't eat for my first month.
This was while that they were searching your house on July 6th while you were sitting in your house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, I better tell him. Yeah, he looked a little skinny last night, and I thought I should take him to the ER and then make some toast with butter on it and watch him eat it. And he walked away. None of that happened, did it?
No, I don't even remember that.
But you had the presence of mind to lie to the officer at the time when he was investigating.
Like I said, I was traumatized. I don't know. I don't remember this, sir.
He wouldn't come upstairs when she said goodnight. She walked down to the last couple of stairs and asked for a hug and a kiss. That didn't happen either, did it?
I don't remember. I mean, I would assume not, but I don't remember.
In fact, you're acknowledging that that video that shows you dragging him into a small room, looking like he does when he dies, calling him a dummy for breathing with his mouth open, is actually what you did to him the night before he died, right?
If that's what it shows, I don't remember, sir.
Your statement to Detective Pieske continues. She got ready for work in the morning and went to check on him. She said his name, but he did not respond. She put her hand on his chest and he was not breathing. She remembered her 20-year-old son, Paul, helping her get him off the bed. That was all a lie, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
You know where he was when you found him that morning, right?
In the closet.
In the small room. And prior to that, you told Officer Stefanich, well, it was about 5:30, he fell out of bed and I had to go and put him back into bed. Also a lie, right?
Yes, sir. I have no idea why I said that, sir. Like I said, I was traumatized.
You told Detective Pieske that Timothy stated he was on a hunger strike 2 weeks ago. This is 2 weeks before he dies. He goes on a hunger strike.
Yes, sir.
Did he go on a hunger strike?
Yes, sir, he did.
Show me the text message between you and Paul where it says that he's on a hunger strike.
I don't know if I ever texted him about it, sir. We talked about it, but I never texted. I mean, if it's not in there, I don't. We didn't text about everything.
You never texted Paul about him being on a hunger strike?
No, I would have told him that in person. I wouldn't have said that over text message. That would have been important.
But Paul has to watch him for the day when you're not home, right?
Yes, sir.
So it'd be Paul's responsibility to get him some food, right?
Yes, sir.
So while he's on a hunger strike, instead of talking about the hunger strike, your response to that is, give him 4 slices of bread with hot sauce on it, and if he eats them and waits 30 minutes, he can eat 4 without. Right?
I don't know what day that was, sir, if you're...
Well, let's find it and make sure.
I mean, we tried to, just because he wasn't eating, we tried to feed him. That was...
And the best solution you come up with is force him to eat the bread with hot sauce on it. That was the response to the hunger strike?
I don't remember. I mean, it wasn't... We tried to feed him. That's all I remember.
So when would that hunger strike have started?
End of June? Late June?
Again, you never looked at the bone thin photo to see what kind of condition he was in before he goes on this hunger strike, right?
Yes, sir.
And did it ever occur to you, like, he's on a hunger strike now? And I know Paul had sent me that text about, you know, he's bone thin. I think we actually need to feed him. We need to actually feed him. It never occurred to you that maybe you should go back and look at that text message now and see what condition he was in at the time?
No, sir. With me, when something's out of sight, it's out of mind. Once that's scrolled up, I don't scroll back to my text messages.
Out of sight, out of mind. That applies to Timothy as well, doesn't it?
That applies to a lot of things, sir. It's not just, I mean, if
Little man was it?
No, if little man was not in front of me right then I wasn't necessarily thinking about him. Paul wasn't.
June 19th, you can do his bread with hot sauce at any time, though preferably sooner rather than later. Put more hot sauce on than you did yesterday, please. And he has to eat at least 3 slices with hot sauce, but he may have more as long as they have plenty of hot sauce on him. That was June 19th. Was he on his hunger strike then?
I would assume not. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an exact date.
That was about 2 weeks before he passed away, and that's when you said the hunger strike started. Is that right?
Yes, sir. But
did it occur to you that the hunger strike was because he didn't enjoy eating bread with hot sauce on it?
Did it occur to me? No, sir, because he did it way back in January, and that wasn't the case.
June 21st, how was everything? Did you make him eat his bread with hot sauce? Yeah, and that's when it's he gets 4 with hot sauce and then 4 more 30 minutes. That was June 21st. You don't know if the hunger strike started there then?
I don't know, sir. Like I said, I can only guesstimate. That's... The only reason I remember the 3 weeks the first time around is because it was right after the stroke, and he started eating again before the end of January.
Right. Did you think he's on a second hunger strike now? I really need to get him some treatment for this.
Did I think along those lines? No, sir. He admitted to being... He told us very early on after the stroke that he was taking advantage of that because we didn't have the extra set of eyes with my husband, and he was being difficult. He actually, Timothy told me that his dad and stepmom used to let him get away with everything. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I've always been a stricter parent anyway, and he told me on multiple occasions that if he thought that if he pushed me hard enough that I would just quit making him do stuff and I wouldn't make him cooperate.
All right. Well, here's an exchange from June 29th. Maybe this can shed some light on the hunger strike feeding situation. Trust me, I know he's thin. That was your text, not Paul's.
I don't remember the text.
You don't remember that one either?
No, sir.
Trust me, I know he's thin. That being said, he told me a week and a half ago that he wanted to be thin to make me feel bad for punishing him. You don't get to grump at him for that, though I already lit into him plenty for it. Is this while he's on his hunger strike?
I mean, I would assume so, yes, sir.
This is June 29th. This is about 8 days before he dies.
Yeah, I would assume so.
And Paul's response is, of course he did. And your response to that is, yeah, so while I want to fix it, he will get most of his calories from plain bread and rice for, you know, pulling that. He will get plenty of calories but not get to enjoy them that way, you know? That doesn't sound like somebody who's on a hunger strike to me. Can you clarify that for me, please?
I don't remember, but I know he wasn't eating. There was...
Continues on. KK? So yeah, we'll tell you more about what he can eat later, June 29th.
Just because we offered him food doesn't... I mean, we offered him food when he was on the hunger strike in January. At least I did. I mean, I would assume Paul did as well. But just because you offered stuff... I mean, you couldn't... Even though it says try to force him to eat, he couldn't force him to eat stuff. I mean, if he didn't...
You heard Paul's testimony yesterday that he had to force him to eat the bread sauce, the bread with hot sauce on it, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I don't know what he means by that.
It's interesting you use the phrase, we tried to tempt him with food. That came up while he was in the ice bath, didn't it? Tempting him with food.
Do you mean the day before he passed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, yes, sir. I mean...
you told Paul to heat up some pizza rolls, because Jean needed the pizza rolls anyway, right? You remember that?
Yes, sir. I don't remember the text message.
So this falls in the I don't remember category as well, is that right?
Like most of it,
yes. The text message says, heat one up, hold it in front of him, but be ready to pull away if he tries to grab it. You don't remember sending any of that?
I don't remember it, no, sir.
You heard the text messages read yesterday, correct?
Yes, sir, I did.
Is it fair to say that you just don't remember those text messages?
Most of them, I don't remember.
Most of them?
Yeah. But then you've got your big bite. I can pretty much guarantee I don't remember most of that either. I don't. And it's not just my text with Paul.
You don't remember anything?
No, sir, I don't.
But somehow you were able to hold down a job as a judicial clerk during that time period, right?
Yes, sir.
And you were able to at least provide dog training to one client at that time, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you remembered to tell Paul to get up and walk Sharma just about every morning, didn't you?
I mean, that would be automatic. It would be reflex. If it's in there, then I would assume so. Yes, sir.
That would be reflex to tell Paul to get up and walk Sharma. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if it's a habit, if I do it enough times, then... And plus it served to get Paul out of bed when I left, because he'd like to go back to sleep.
You told the officer that there was an alarm on the basement door, this is the small closet, because there was some sewing stuff stored in it. That was a lie, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. There was sewing stuff stored in it before he asked to do that,
but the alarm
I don't know why I told him that.
The alarm wasn't on there because there was sewing stuff on it, was there?
No, sir.
The alarm was on it because Timothy was supposed to be in there, right?
I mean, as far as I know, like I said, I don't.
You don't remember, but you were able to lie to the police officer at the time?
I don't remember talking to the police. I mean, I don't remember this part of the conversation with the police officer, sir.
You tell the officer that there were cameras in the home because G would strip down naked and wander around. Well, that wasn't the only reason the cameras were in the house, was it?
No, sir.
You left out all the other details about that you had to monitor Timothy and make sure he didn't go to certain places and sneak places and be deceitful, right? You didn't tell the officer that, did you?
Apparently not. I don't know why I didn't, but...
You said he fell out of bed and you went and had to get him and put him back into bed. He never fell out of bed that night, did he?
Not as far as I know. I don't remember, sir.
Well, you know he didn't sleep in the bed that night, don't you?
Well, yeah, so I'm sorry.
Right. So saying that you got up at 5:30 and had to put him back in the bed, and then you changed it to 30 minutes because that sometime with the ending in the 30, because you learned at that point that rigor mortis had already set in and he'd been deceased for a number of hours. That was still a lie, wasn't it?
I mean, yes, sir, I don't remember any of this. I'm sorry.
The hot sauce in the bathroom downstairs was for food. But it wasn't, was it? The hot sauce was for punishment, right?
It was also to put on food.
But you didn't mention that, we also use hot sauce as a form of punishment, did you?
Apparently not.
I'm guessing you probably didn't mention the officer, we also had the crazy idea yesterday to pour some hot sauce on his penis for a punishment. You didn't mention that either, did you?
Apparently not, sir. Like I said, I don't remember.
You told the officer that you did not restrict Timothy's movement at night with shackles. That was also a lie, wasn't it?
Again, I don't remember, sir. I know we talked about it, but as far as overnight, no.
But you would restrict his movement with shackles, wouldn't you? Whether it was zip ties or handcuffs or leg shackles.
I mean, I can only go back based on the text messages. I don't know.
Why did you wait 20 minutes to call 911 after you found Timothy deceased in the small closet in the small room?
I have no idea, honestly. I learned of that gas, just a couple of days ago. The whole day is surreal to me, so I have no idea why we waited like that. I don't know. I can't imagine waiting, but apparently it happened. I don't know.
Do you remember Paul asking you, should we call 911?
I don't remember him ever asking. Because I was the one that called, and I was the one. I remember performing CPR, and he did help me out a little bit when I got tired to take over a little bit. But, I mean, I can't imagine ever saying no to that.
But if it's on the video, that's what you said, right?
If it's on there.
So if the video showed that it begins with you with movement outside of the room at about 6:19:21, and 911 is actually called you tell Paul you have to call at 6:37, so that's about 18 minutes, isn't it?
I mean, let's see, 19, yeah, that's 18 minutes.
And Timothy was never responsive to you, was he?
No, sir.
His eyes were wide open, completely glazed over, weren't they?
As far as I remember, yes, sir.
He never moved, never took a breath, never did anything, did he?
No, sir.
And while this is all going on, you tell Paul, we'll have to tell them he was on a hunger strike, right? You remember telling him that?
No, I don't.
Don't remember that either?
No, sir.
Do you remember telling Paul, or do you remember saying, put his pants on to make it look like he's been this way?
I don't remember saying that.
Do you remember asking Paul to put the belt on to make it sure that that's the way he looked?
No, sir.
But if they're on video, you said those things,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Van Ark, isn't it true? Timothy had just become nothing more than an annoyance for you, and he wasn't even a human being in your eyes anymore.
That is absolutely not true.
Can you imagine? Like, can you just imagine? Anyways, obviously it didn't take long for the jury to decide that she was so guilty that an evil pitchfork was coming out of her ass and convicted her. And the next day, Paul decided to plead guilty to his own charges. Her daughter, Millie, who had spent 14 years of her life with this precocious and precious little boy, read a victim impact statement, and let's just say she wasn't too impressed with her mother, which she doesn't even call her mother. She calls her the parent, saying in part, quote, I want her detained for the rest of her life so she can't hurt anyone else. I want the world to know that Timothy was wanted, if not by her, then by me. He was loved by me, end quote. And then his other brother, Nolan, said, quote, I can't have my brother back. She shouldn't have her freedom back. The life of one sweet little blue-eyed boy is not equivalent to that of a murderer. Timothy wasn't surrounded by people who loved him when he died. If I had known that, nothing could have stopped me from rescuing him and holding him in my arms, telling him that I loved him. Instead, I got to cradle a bag of ashes in my arms, end quote. Now, Shanda gave absolutely no reaction other than looking away when a photo of Timothy in much happier times was displayed. And the judge said, quote, I'm not going to let you hide in the darkness anymore. People know who you are now. I can't wrap my mind of how someone could do something so horrific, not just to another human being, but to their own child, end quote. And with that, she was sentenced to life with no parole. And then the next day, her parental rights on her youngest son, Gabriel, were terminated. As I said, I believe her husband has passed away. So Gabriel is being raised by Adam's parents. Paul looked shocked when he was sentenced to 30 years in jail. And both Shanda and Paul have filed appeals for their sentences. Timothy Ferguson was 1 month shy of his 16th birthday when he was murdered by his biological mother and brother. And that was the murder of the sweet and innocent Timothy Ferguson by probably the most wretched woman I have ever encountered. And believe me, I've seen a few in my true crime journey, but her callous and clueless narcissistic attitude just really kind of takes the cake for me. And with that, I'm going to be back again next week with another despicable story of pain and trauma. Do what you do in the meantime. And as always, thank you so much for listening.